Okay. Welcome everyone to this week's episode of Recursive.
Welcome, welcome.
This is going to be our fifth episode. And today we are going to talk about social media presence, personal branding.
Yes.
And everything in between, yeah. As always.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we get into that, let's catch up. What's been going on in your life since the last episode?
Yeah, so the past time I have been slowly but steadily taking it slower with my app Juno to reimagine the architecture of it. And I have haven't spent too much time on it because I've been pulled towards other projects, which is fine because, you know, time to think. Sometimes doesn't mean active time to think. Sometimes it's good to take a step back. And yeah, I guess that's the main thing. You know, being doing great at work, really enjoying it, being, you know, catching up and getting up to speed there more and more and more. And had a lovely cocktail at Rådhuset.
Yeah, Rådhuset.
Rådhuset, that's the one, yeah, in Stockholm city center.
Yeah. It was me too.
Yeah. Yeah, you enjoyed it as well, right?
Yeah. It won Sweden's Best Cocktail 2021, right? Or something?
Very recently, yeah. At least, and for a good reason. So just to describe it very quickly, I'm then moving over to you, is that the cocktail is clear in, you know, like a vodka seemingly, but on the list, on the ingredients list, when looking at the menu, it said like whipped cream and vanilla, and but especially the whipped cream was like, okay, sure, it won the prize, so let's give it a shot, right? Otherwise I'm like, you know, I don't want whipped cream.
Yeah, it's not your type of cocktail.
No,
really.
No, but it was clear, so it was really weird. And I'm still baffled by how creamy the taste was.
Yeah, I think they use like a technique in cocktail making called washing, which basically means you wash your vodka through like a, you know, the cheesecloths?
Yeah.
So you basically put cream in the cheesecloth and then this is very oversimplified, but you pour vodka through the cream and the cheesecloth, and then you somehow get creamy flavor.
Yeah, he did mention filtering of some sort.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah.
But what about you?
Yeah, it's been good. I've been celebrating Easter in Västerås with my family. We had very good weather, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Been getting back into the routine of working out, doing a lot of bouldering, going to the gym with my brother.
All right.
That was nice. I finally managed to do some pull-ups, which I haven't been able to do in a long time.
Okay,
so awesome. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
I just tried it and I could do it.
Nice.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
I've been also working on a small little side project, which basically the Stockholm's Länstrafik, which is basically the organization that does the buses and metros and trams in Stockholm, they have this open API with a bunch of data for departures. And
which is already awesome, right?
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah.
So I basically been playing with that, and I been building a Raycast extension where you can like search for departures from certain stations and just playing around with that.
Yeah.
It's been super fun.
And if you would publish it, people could use your API key or need to publish their own API key or use their own?
No, I think I would do like a proxy server, so they could just like download the extension and it should work in theory.
I'll download it for sure. I'm using public transport frequently.
Yeah, that's nice.
Cool. Yeah, that's good to hear about that. But let's circle back to the main topic of things. So personal branding and social media presence and what you said, anything in between. So to start things off, like, what's your first feeling about those two topics? What comes to mind first?
Yeah, That's a good question.
Thank you.
I think when I was younger, I definitely cared a lot more, like when I tried to get into the scene of tech and design and like the online community, I cared a lot about like building a social presence and being super active and connecting with people and having a portfolio and a Behance profile. I don't know if you had one of those.
I heard of it, never had them.
No, yeah, no. Yeah. Kind of like Dribbble, but in the early days. And I think it definitely helped me a lot, especially for like getting that first job, to have like a social or like an online presence. Where you could like send people to your website or your portfolio and they could see your work and also see that you're interacting with other similar people, which kind of almost gives you this credibility of you know what you're doing, you're in it.
I'm going to interrupt you here for to take a step back or on a higher level here. Is that what is your main goal of like you had this Behance, right? So so I'm let me rephrase what my train of thought is actually. So personal branding could also be taken as, for example, like the models or, you know, music stars. They are a personal brand, or football stars, they are a personal brand themselves, right? Which they do something, but they don't, for example, football players, they don't play football per se to brand themselves because it kind of comes with it somehow. It seems with you that you're more intentional with a certain goal in mind with the personal branding.
At least in the beginning of my career.
Yeah.
I think nowadays it's... I don't do as much personal branding. I still think it's good to have a social presence. And like, especially I see this now when we're doing recruiting at the Mando. Like, not many developers actually have a social presence or a online presence.
Okay.
Most people just have like a CV and a LinkedIn profile. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to have an online presence. But people who do, they end up way higher on my list of people to review. Because it kind of, I don't know, you can somehow see there's some sort of passion involved.
Well, what I can think of is, for one, they took the effort to make one. That's one thing, right? They're more industrious, maybe, because of that.
Yeah.
That's what you already take it. But also, you can see their actual work.
Yeah, right, that's away. A big plus.
Yeah, literally, you can see the website itself is probably going to be nicely put together. Although, maybe my viewpoint a little bit here shining through is that personal websites are cool and should be taken care of. But sometimes I see people out there, and I don't mean any of us actually, because I think we're under that limit, but some people go way over with certain effects or weird things, and I'm like, did you stuff everything you've learned in this one thing because you could? Or
Exactly. I don't think you necessarily have to like go over the top and show every skill you can possibly have. For me, it's more about just being able to find you online and like your links to GitHub. Like having, I've always said this, having a decent GitHub profile with a few projects you are proud of is going to give you a huge advance in people who review you for an application or something. And for your peers as well.
So actually, a tip for everyone out there that has to have a GitHub profile, there is a setting wherein you can make your comment commits come up on the activity, even though these repositories are private. So it shows activity, but it doesn't show anything like where it's coming from or whatever.
Is that on by default? Or?
I think it's off by default, actually. You should check it out, because sometimes, just to talk about this, sometimes I see, I know this guy is doing something crazy. He's active on GitHub. I check out his profile, and or she, and her activity is, there's almost nothing. And I'm like, but what are they doing? Like, it always it doesn't align with your initial idea about them. But yeah, it's a tip.
Yeah, that's how all GitHub activity matrix is very controversial.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily believe you have to have like a completely filled matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more about the work you've actually done. Like, people who have a GitHub profile, but they only have like schoolwork from 10 years ago, which was written in Java and was pretty shitty code, don't even put it there. Like, why? What's the point?
That's true. That's true. But it's like, if you're working on GitHub anyway, you can just toggle this on and it's just a possible plus for some people. Like, you're getting there might be this recruiter who's vetting people on like just activity in general. Like, is it
showing? Yeah, but that's probably not an employer want. Here's the thing. You much rather want to have a GitHub profile with a few repositories you're super proud of,
mm-hmm.
and not that much activity, rather than a lot of activity but there are no interesting or relevant repositories.
Agreed. I mean, quality over quantity, that's for sure. But I'm saying more like sometimes it seems like they just made a profile and never used it. Like that's also it seems like a dead end. Like,
yeah, it's almost disappointing when you like as a recruiter or who's looking for a team member, you like eventually find their GitHub and there's nothing there.
that's really unfortunate.
But that's me. And just to add a few points on that, I think there's a lot of more things you could do to build your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're interested into doing conference talks or meetup talks, that's a very good way to like put yourself out there in your more local tech community or design community.
Yeah.
So that's also something I recommend doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But enough about me. How are you building your personal brand?
Well, I would like to first take a step back as well, like how my feelings are about this in general, right? So it's all about online presence, social media presence, whatever you want to call it. When I was younger, I did have many social media accounts. And that was cool, but at some point I felt like not for me, right? So it's not my thing. So I kind of went dark on nearly every social media platform except LinkedIn, I think that was. For a multitude of reasons, but one of which is like, you know, I didn't felt that I would gain anything out of this. Then 2 years back, or a little over 2 years back, I started developing and noticed that, you know, Twitter is pretty big there. For many reasons, right? It's very helpful to be found, but also to find new things or people. So I only recently, fairly recently, started again to do Twitter with this mindset to build my profile as a developer, you know, something aligned to that, as a person that is interested in that and wants to connect with other people to talk about things and whatnot, which is one thing. Personal portfolio website is something I have built before I had Twitter. It's for me same thing with you, like you said, like you could show something from yourself, right? So that's one thing, but also I loved coding in general. So I just felt like, another thing to code. So why not? Like, let's go at it. And yeah, I do believe that if someone has an online media online presence on this own website, it just gives it a little extra, right? It just gives them little or more extra, actually, almost. Yeah. That's how I feel about this. So,
I mean, If you don't have a social media presence, there is no way to find you, really. Like, nowadays, that's how you find people.
Yeah. So the website itself was there, and I actually updated it recently a bit, also with new coding standards I've did. and you know, polish it up a little bit here and there. Like I said just now before, is that I don't want to add too many bells and whistles to it because I can. No, I don't want that. I want to keep it just, you know, pretty straightforward. Nice looking though, right? Should give a good experience, but you know, keep it lean. And yeah, so another thing is that I am a big fan of open source. So open source is all about, networking, but also being found, and how can you participate in other projects. I kind of guess that it's even more important to be your own entity in some ways, because yeah, you could be, you know, I don't know, it's hard to describe maybe, but you get about what I'm getting at here. Like, open source world is more indie, independent, indie hacker, indie type thing, instead of corporate. So possibly that's where, yeah, it could be very helpful as well. Yeah.
I just came to think of when you mentioned your portfolio, and dude, I've gone back and forth so many times with my with my website, growing from having a minimalist website to like a super information dense website, and back and forth and back and forth.
You like where it is at right now?
Yeah, I mean, now it's kind of something in between.
Yeah,
it's a fairly minimalistic design, but it has a lot of information on it. So like what my name is, of course, what I do, like social links, a little description, career timelines, etc. Open source work.
No, we've both looked at yours, and I think we're on the same page there, that it's really it's doing a great job there. And yeah, I think, like I said, like both of us are, both our portfolio website are below my measurement of, you know, too much of things, or you know, embellishment. Or
I mean, it also depends on what you want to do, what type of work you want to do. If you want to do super fancy, like agency or art websites with a lot of crazy animations, maybe you should like make your portfolio convey that, and have sort of a similar design strategy there.
Yeah.
But if you want to do like heavy duty engineering work, maybe you should have like a cleaner design, and maybe focus on the content and like highlight some projects to be working on.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit harder to convey.
Yeah.
Maybe you could, if you want to do really like heavy duty engineering work, maybe you could like highlight, maybe you could have a game on your website.
I was just about to say that. That was in my mind. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you could do analyzation of your work on your GitHub repos, and do crazy graphs and estimates. And I don't know. You can maybe use a Spotify API to show what's currently playing.
Yeah,
there's so much to do.
Yeah,
And you have to kind of think about what sort of work you want to be doing. That's true.
So overall, it's more about the goal as well. Like, you know, what your goal is, what's your intention.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because if you want to be doing heavy duty engineering work, you probably shouldn't have like a super fancy animation heavy, colorful, artsy website. Because that probably doesn't convey that you have that knowledge, probably.
Because
when we look at websites, especially for me, that are looking for people to my team, I take decisions quite quickly. Like, if I see something that in the first few seconds doesn't live up to my standards, I'm going to close the website. So you better be sure to put some effort into it.
It's an extension of the a person itself, right?
It is. I mean, because if they can't make their website nice, why should I trust that I can make the work nice that they would do in my team?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, that's true. So that's the first takes on the personal branding, right? So to move it ahead, so do you have any people or companies you'd like to highlight, like which ones you favorite or inspire you?
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm gonna come across as a fanboy now, but I don't really care. I think Brian Lovin does a very good work.
Mm-hmm.
Max Stoiber as well. Also Pedro Duarte.
Yeah.
Very good as well.
Yeah.
Rafa Hari. Or Rafael Conde. The guy who makes the hand mirror app.
Oh yeah, the name was sounded familiar. Yeah, yeah.
And I think what they all do very good is they really go all in into their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Rafa, because he makes small, a little bit silly apps, his website is super playful, and he has animations of himself that he made from green screen. Like chat bubbles, but it's very polished.
Yeah.
So like, it's all responsive. It all makes sense. It's all accessible, but it's very playful.
Yeah.
Brian, on the other hand, which is a very good designer and developer as well nowadays, and he really focuses on like high polish SaaS products. Web apps. He's building Campsite right now, which is like a design sharing application. His website is very clean and minimalist and very much that same sort of style. So I think that's what they do really well.
Yeah.
And they share everything on Twitter, how their work is growing, what challenges they run into. They share updates on their apps. And that's what I really admire about them. How about you?
Well, the list is what you mentioned is our stellar people. The one person I felt lacking was Rasmus.
Rasmus Andersson.
Yes, that one. That you didn't mention it, but I guess it was just someone you would have mentioned if I just slipped your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
I like his style as well. Also very minimalistic and everything. There's this one guy called he's French. I might pronounce his name wrong. Como?
Yeah. I know who you mean. He does a lot of fancy CSS.
Yes.
Trickery and tutorials. And, yeah.
Yeah. So what I like about his website is that
Josh Como or something.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. We'll link everything in the show notes for you guys to check out. But the thing is about also that one, like. But you say, I concur, that he has some fancy trickery CSS, and he just sprinkles it on evenly, nicely, so he only goes to testify that he has the quality of using it, but also knowing how to use it, which is amazing. There's a bunch of things I still can learn from him and take inspiration of. But outside of that, I don't have many personal websites I check out that much, or there might be some and I have bookmarked, but they slipped my mind. I will drop them probably in the show notes as well as inspiration. And I don't know. The thing is, I kind of not wrestle. It's kind of a personal thing. I have no word for it. It's not a struggle. It's just a personal balancing act between following trends.
Yeah,
which, trends are there for a reason in many ways, because they're cool because of their
a sign of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, do you follow it to the max so you're really there, or because I'm feeling that most of the company websites out there starting to look very similar in terms of use of color, use of this, use of that, which sometimes isn't also bad because it makes the user easy to navigate through the website and everything. But as a individual, you know, I'm trying to be the unique snowflake I am, right? So I'm trying to portray that in my website. Oh, I was just kidding. But it's just that I kind of like, I don't think too much about it. I guess that I like Dieter Rams for as well, like as a take on things, Dieter Rams. Simply with Steve of Johnny Ive, right? Johnny Ive from Apple, or used to be working at Apple, maybe he is again. I don't know. Something happened.
Consulting.
Yeah, isn't he? Yeah, fair. Yeah, probably that.
He did candles as well.
Sorry,
he did candles as well.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, I should buy them. No. So thing is about these guys, or their mantra is seems to be more utilitarian. Stylistic, to be modern, but also understandable, and also most important thing, timeless. So it's something, some products of Dieter Rams could have been designed yesterday, right, or tomorrow. They're that timeless. Not to go about like, you know, the technology inside of them, because some of these are dated, but they really are next level. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But sorry to interrupt you, but I think right now we're talking more about design or anything. Maybe let's take it back a little bit on the personal branding or social media presence.
Yeah, maybe we can move on to the next one. It's like, what are your future plans when it comes to personal branding?
Yeah, so my future plans are to keep working on my Twitter profile, to build on that, to network through that, which I recently actually experienced a good thing. So through the algorithm of Twitter, I came across a post of someone. I replied on that positively to test out its app, right? I love trying out new things, which in turn, he became a follower of me. I followed him and he followed me back out of, you know, respect and interest of each other's work, which I think was an amazing, happening. I like to just keep expanding the network there, finding people, creating awesome things. Providing my constructive feedback to them is one thing as well. Yeah, hoping to continue the Twitter journey for sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think recently I felt that I don't gain as much from Twitter as I did before. And I think I'm going to start or continue my personal branding with maybe doing more local things in my communities, maybe doing more meetup talks and conference talks. We have thought about doing a conference as well here in Stockholm. Maybe we'll see. Be hearing more about that in the future.
Well, actually, let's do a reach out. If anyone is interested in hearing more about this on a personal note, then definitely reach out to
us. Yeah, we could use some help, definitely.
Yeah.
It's basically going to be a one-day conference, tech adjacent conference in Stockholm. And we're going to need like a good location and sponsors and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested in collaborating, just reach out to us. Either to any of us on Twitter or through our recursive email, which you can find on the website.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's that pretty much. Do you have anything more on the personal branding?
Well, the future plans, like the also the why, I think is just briefly, like why?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess there's an answer to this, and then there's a real answer behind the hood, right? My answer would be to just have myself visible in the community of software developer, designer, entrepreneur, or not really, but kind of hacker, you know? And the real why do I want to do that? I'm not sure. I've always wanted, I think probably deep down it comes to like respect,
yeah,
or admiration. Mm. It's in our nature to be wanting to be like admired by other people,
mm-hmm,
and to be respected in the industry and mm, and not feel like an imposter.
Yeah,
that's probably the real why.
Yeah,
which might seem a little bit vain in some way, but I think it's fine. Also because I think it's fun. I love doing meetup talks. I grow so much from that. I meet new people. I get to see new places in the world. I get to travel.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's also a pretty good reason to keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, to add to that is that if you facilitate possibilities to bump into new people,
yeah,
then new ideas can come about, or new energy, organizations or new whatever. I lost the word there, but it's all about serendipity, right?
Yeah.
Finding something you weren't looking for sometimes goes along with just getting out there,
mm-hmm,
you know, being able to be found. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
I'm glad you asked why.
Always ask yourself the why. Always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. So yeah, so wrap it up a bit. We have both picked a weekly gem, and I guess you can go first with your weekly gem. So
yeah, so this is a concept that we've decided to start now, which is every podcast episode at the end, we're going to highlight something each,
mm-hmm,
that we've gotten to know about, experienced, tried, read, seen since the last episode. And we sat here before the episode trying to come up with a clever name for this, and we eventually came up with Weekly Gem,
mm-hmm,
completely by ourselves. And so yeah, I can kick things off. My Weekly Gem is going to be an e-book by the Steve Jobs Archive,
mm-hmm,
which is called Make Something Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a job that a few people around Steve Jobs have put together. And it's basically a mix of their description of Steve Jobs, as well as a bunch of old notes and texts by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started to read this book, and honestly, I can't stop like flipping the pages.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so insightful and so beautiful, and I can already recommend it. I think it's a good read.
Yeah. It's for free as well, right?
It's for free as well.
Yeah. So definitely, we'll link that one as well, so you could find it through our show notes.
Yeah, that's my weekly gem.
That's a nice gem. It's shining. So my weekly gem is on a different note, literally, it's music. So I have been somehow circling back to Jay-Z's older albums. I think this one is the... Wow, now I look like a faker, the name. Black. Wow, I look like a faker because everything is a Spotify, right? I don't remember the name. It's Black Album 3 or something. It's from 2003 or 4, like back.
Yeah.
And it, if I don't recall it incorrectly, it's known as one of the best albums as rap artist any rap artist ever made. And it's so enjoyable. Like, the beats are so different from nowadays beats and the lyrics. So I'm a person who first and foremost listens to the flow of the not the flow of the rap itself, like that comes with it, but more like what's the melody of the song. That's for me the most important thing. And then some songs, today I realized that one song I liked from an album is based on a certain note, a certain instrument that's in there, which I really liked, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Hmm.
Weirdly enough, just such a particular detail. And if I listen to it more frequently, at some point I have the opportunity to listen to the lyrics,
what
she's actually saying. And then I didn't even go as far, which I think I will with this one, especially with this album, is to either find a resource that does that for me or go for myself to look why certain lyrics are written that way. Because sometimes a lyric is very short, right? It's like it could be four words, but a lot of meaning could be like, it could be contemporary meaning. Like at that point in time, something happened or an event or something a beef with someone else, and
very like contextual.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's the Black Album from Jay-Z. And
is that what it's called, or?
Yeah, it's actually the name.
Okay.
Also, I will link this in the show notes, and back into the old school rap here. Yeah.
Was it better before, or?
Dude, I'm
I don't listen to rap, so I wouldn't know.
So I'm not gonna say it's gonna be better before. We're gonna a little expanding here, but I just would like to get these thoughts out there. So there's two things. One, I feel like I'm getting old because of like, oh, everything used to be better back in the day thing. And there's two reasons for that. So one thing is old things that are good are still accessible now, like, or make sense right now. Like, you know, old things that are good are remembered. Old things that are not mediocre or anything and bad or anything in between are like forgotten. Like you know, any song from the Middle Ages, you don't really, you know, don't mind. So that's one thing. So the gems stay for longer. And the second thing is, like, when you're younger, you get so many new impressions. So if a new song comes about, you're like, oh, wow, this beat or this whatever.
Right.
And the older you get, the more impressions you've had. So you're comparing it, and it's never had that novelty effect again, right? So
yeah, I have that with Arctic Monkeys.
Ooh, yeah.
I think there was some of their songs. Like 505, there's not much that to me that can like compete with it.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to find some group, but dude, I always come back to them. I think it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was like the first time I listened to indie rock.
Ooh.
That's when I discovered Arctic Monkeys, and I still have that novelty feeling with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's fun.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yes.
It's been fun to talk again, as usual. And we will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
I think we will continue doing bi-weekly for a little bit. And maybe eventually, if we have time, we can do weekly episodes. But I think this is working decent now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so through our email, recursivepodfm@gmail.com, or just DM us at Twitter. It's also very easy.
Or visit our personal websites. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Watch it. Check it out.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah, that's been it. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.